fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get down here today. I say that every day, don't I? I couldn't wait to get down here today, baby. We got a good one coming your way here on February 1st. Where did January go? You know, here in Ohio, January is like weather-wise is unbelievable. And I'd like to sit down and see how many days we spent above freezing here in Ohio in January. It's been amazing. And now I always told when I was teaching school, I always tried to explain to our students, here's why winter seems so long. Just use the names. December, January, February. They're all multi-syllables. And then you hit spring, it goes March, April, May. I said, man, that's what it is. I'm looking for that March, April, May. And you know, we're 28 days away from March. Beware of the Ides of March, huh? Crazy things going on. Crazy. Listen, is it okay out there, guys and girls? Is it okay if I gloat a minute? I just want to gloat just a minute here. I got kind of taken to task last night after the Supreme Court announcement was made. And I don't know about Gorsuch. I don't know. I mean, anything I'd be saying about this new guy that they've appointed would be hearsay from somebody else. And, you know, people say, yeah, oh, he's the greatest since sliced bread. And others say, we don't know about his abortion position and time is going to tell and all that stuff. It's all going to play out. I think this. Donald Trump said he was going to appoint a pro-life justice. I think they probably know something we don't know, right? That's what I would think. We've been fooled before. We could have been fooled again. But I just kind of feel that right here now on February 1st, I want to just take a minute and gloat. I want to remind all those people out there who said Donald Trump was a double agent, that he was going to get in there and he wasn't going to do anything that he said that he was going to do. And if we look back over the first 10 or 14 days, whatever it's been, he's been in there. It's been amazing. It has been we could not, with the exception, see, people are mad still because he's not on the right side of the homo issue. He's not on the right side of it. But if somebody would have told us 8 months ago that we were going to have a president that was going to do the things that Trump has done in the first 5 days, we said, Ted Cruz! Yeah! We got Ted Cruz! Ted Cruz wouldn't have done this. He would not have been able to pull this off. Ted Cruz. And I want to make the point so the people understand. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not bragging. But I was telling you all along that there was only one guy that was going to be able to do what he's done. Somebody who was independent from everybody else. Remember when they said that Trump was a stalking horse for Hillary? Remember that? He was in the race just so Hillary could win. Remember all that? Then they said, well, wait, when he gets in there, he's going to turn liberal because he's a liberal at heart. And they said, you just watch. You just watch when he gets in there. Then his true colors are going to show. Yeah, then you watch. He ain't going to do anything he said. And he puts out this list of 21 Supreme Court justices, possible Supreme Court justices, 9 months before he runs for office. And lo and behold, what does he do? Follows through on that. So I just want to, is gloat the right word? I don't want to gloat. But I want to point out that I'm sorry, JR, I'm getting into some territory here. It's going to make me sound like I'm bragging. A lot of self-righteous Christians were wrong. Oh, coach, this hasn't played out yet. Well, it hadn't played out. But as of today, right now today, a lot of self-righteous Christians were wrong. And I said at the beginning that there wasn't a Christian man with enough. You know what I'm thinking, right? There wasn't a Christian man in America with stones big enough to do what this guy did. That's what I was saying from the start. First of all, get rid of Hillary. Can you imagine if we were waking up today and Hillary Clinton had picked the next Supreme Court justice? Can you imagine that? Oh, my. And we were crying out all that time that Trump was a block in the door, put his foot in the door. He's going to be a bouncer. He's going to block the devil from getting any deeper into the American government. And it appears to me that he has. Now, hey, what's the church going to do? Because we've already seen what the devil's kids are going to do. They're out in the streets already. They're doing everything they can to overturn it. They're doing everything they can to delegitimize this candidacy. And I'm going to tell you, JR and Rich and Sarge and everybody out there that's listening, if the church doesn't rise up, this is going to be about a six-month run. About a six-month run. And I'm not real, from that standpoint, I'm not real optimistic. Again, I've fallen into the trap we all fall into when I begin to talk about the church. Because we all know what that means. In fact, I had a discussion with my buddy, Pastor Tom, yesterday about that. And he kind of cautioned me and probably in some good wisdom that you don't paint with a broad brush. Not every church is that way. But then I countered and came back and said, listen, are you telling me everybody in your church is born again, saved, on fire, radical for Jesus? Well, no, of course not. Well, how do we know what's the real church then? Is it all those people, you go to a congregation, I'm not talking about Tom anymore, I'm talking about whoever. You go to a congregation, 2,000 people, and you tell me those people are all saved? You tell me that? You really believe that? Don't you understand that the biggest fight that we have right now is within our own family? Our own family. Can't you see right now as these Muslims are streaming over the border that we see Christians are saying, well, we have to let them come here so we can get them saved. See, do you see this? Do you see this? The foolishness of it? The absolute foolishness. And I put up a statistic yesterday. Jared, I want you to have to go find it, Jared. It's on my Facebook page. It said in the year 2000, that's about 17 years ago, in the year 2000, there were 1,200 mosques in America. 1,200. I'm going to get it wrong, Jared. I don't know if you can find that on my Facebook page or not. Maybe I ought to, because I don't get my statistics wrong here. Let me jump here real quick. Bear with me here. Bear with me. See, we can't even evangelize Americans. We can't even evangelize Americans who've been raised in the good old Bible Belt of America. We can't even evangelize them. And we say, oh, send all those Muslims over here so we can evangelize them. And then I would say to all those pastors, how's that working out for you? Are you doing that right now? You got a big Muslim outreach at your church, do you? You guys go visit the mosque regularly and reach out to those Muslims? Do you do that? Will you stop with the foolishness? Will you guys quit stop? Will you stop with these empty platitudes and phrases that you just utter out? Hey, I want to hear from a church out there that's got a Muslim outreach to the mosque. I'll be waiting for it. Email me that. I'll make you a feature on the show tomorrow. And it comes back to the same old thing. We're going to allow these guys to come over here and ruin the American culture, ruin the American society. That's what we're going to do, all in the name of getting them saved. I read it one after another on my Facebook page. Jared, I'm almost there now. I'm going to find these statistics. Hang on with me. There it is. There it is. Are you ready for this? In 2000, there were 1,200 mosques in America. Do you have that up there? Probably, Jared, you're always ahead of me.
Yep.
Yep, there you are. Click on that. Click on that. Yeah, I can. Click on that. See more, Jared. See more. Right under that thing. Yeah, click on that. In the USA, there were 1,200 mosques in 2000. 16 years later, there's almost 3,200. That's triple, almost triple. How about this? In Saudi Arabia in 2000, there were no Christian churches. Hey, Roger, how many Christian churches in Saudi Arabia today? None. No Christian churches. And they say Trump's a racist, right? When was the last time you saw a new church being built in your town? Who is evangelizing who now? I'm not talking about starting a church. I'm talking about the expanding of the gospel of Jesus. You know what we're seeing? We're seeing big churches being built and small churches emptying because those in the small churches are running to the glitz and the glamour of the big churches. Somebody do this. Do this, right? And we'll find out that many of the salvations or many of the new converts in these big mega churches, many of them, those are sheep that used to belong in another church and now have come and walked the aisle in their church. If we would look, all you got to do is go to the local high school and you're going to find out how the evangelism has been going. And I'll promise you this. The Christian kids are evangelized into feelings, into political correctness, into humanism. The Christian kids are more supportive of the Muslims coming across the border, the Christian kids, than the unsaved kids. I just saw it firsthand. So we've got to get our head out of our sanctuaries. We got to get our head out. We have to take what the Lord has given us and take it to the streets and expand it. Because AJR, devil's kids are in the streets. They are playing every card they have right now. Did you know that as soon as Judge Gorsuch was announced last night, there was a protest at the Supreme Court building with signs already printed with his name on it? The devil must have quite a printing press, right? And everywhere they can, they are attacking ours, our team. Now, here's our question. Is our team going to show up and play? That's my concern, Rich. That's my concern. Will our team show up and play? I don't know. What do you think the odds of that are? Hey, Raj, how many guys in your church going to show up and play, you think? Huh? They don't even know there's a game. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, I've shared over the years, months here, is, you know, I teach a group of high school young men at church. And believe me, and these are good young men. They mean well. Nobody is going back to their high school and trying to evangelize their high school.
They wouldn't know how.
They'll come to church on Sunday and they'll listen, and they want to, they have a desire. But when you put them back in the halls of their high school, not much is happening.
Because, Roger, they're not really saved.
Well, they're saved, but they are so fearful.
And they're not saved.
Well, I don't question their salvation, Dave. I teach them regularly, but the fear is just, and they're not equipped at all. Nobody has taught them. Nobody has led them. Nobody has, it just, you know, they're saved. They're saved. I've been around my class enough, but they're very fearful. It's just not happening. So to think they're going to go witness to the Muslims.
Hey, Roger.
Ephesians 5, Jared, get that ready, please. Ephesians 5. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, there has been way, way, way too much emphasis put on that word saved.
Yes, sir, Larry. I'm amening that one.
Now, when you read in the Bible about salvation, it usually says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord. See, Lord part. The one that controls the decisions you make in your life part, that is a prerequisite to being saved. Because if Jesus is not Lord of your life, he's not going to be your Savior. And that's scriptural. You look at the context of everything to do about being a child of God. If you are not allowing Jesus to be the Lord in your life, then he is not your Savior.
Well, my buddy Jay just put up here over on the side, Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving shall not enter. Remember, Rich, I said the cowards go first? Can you be saved and can you be a coward and be saved? Now, to a degree, maybe. The Lord says the faithful, fearful, and the unbelieving.
Hey, Dave, can I say something about the broad brush?
Sure.
You know, if you were to say, hey, Americans are overweight, okay, that's not going to offend those that are thin. It's not going to offend those that are overweight and accept the fact that they're overweight. It's going to offend those that are overweight and can't accept it.
That's right. Don't want to admit it. Want to keep eating.
It's still true.
It's still true. That's right.
My point is not about that issue. First of all, you're all arrogant to make a comment like that when you don't even know the young men. Okay, so you got to be careful there. I'm with these guys every Sunday. So to make a statement that they're not saved and haven't never met the people or talked to them is one of the problems we have. So I'll clarify.
Point taken, point made.
They are saved, okay? They are fearful of, and maybe fear is not the right word. They don't know how. They've not been trained. Nobody has shown them. My point is, we're not going to go tackle the Muslims when the young people can't even go tackle in their hallways.
I'm with you, buddy. That's why I'm in Ephesians 5. I got someplace I'm taking you today. Trust me. You going to trust me, Lord? How are you going? Huh? Okay, well, let's go to Ephesians. We've been in Ephesians a lot, but we never started at the beginning. So I think we better start at the beginning today, Rich. Okay, I'm in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. You're a child of God. Follow God. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Remember, Ephesians is written to the saved, to the called-out ones. It's not written to the world. Okay, hang on. He told us to walk in love. Sweet-smelling sacrifice, sweet-smelling savor. But, I hate that word, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be once named among you as becometh saints. If they're speaking that stuff about you, you ain't a child of God. Come on. Hey, anybody shacking up in your church? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who's an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Hey, boys, that's pretty daggone clear, isn't it? That's pretty clear. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Are the children of disobedience those who are saved and aren't walking in the statutes? I think it is. Remember, this is written to the church. It's not written to the world. Paul's writing to the Christians at Ephesus. And he says this, be not ye therefore partakers with them. So they're going to do that stuff. You don't have nothing to do with them. George, am I misquoting here? Somebody, you know, somebody keep me accountable here. I'm just reading it.
Yeah, that last verse there, verse 7, that kind of jumps all over Romans.
Jumps all over that love verse, doesn't it? Jumps all over that love verse.
Romans 1:32, if you condone all this evil, it's just like you're doing it yourself.
For you were sometimes darkness before you were saved, see? But now you're the light in the Lord, and you walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. This is good, isn't it? This is some good preaching, and all I'm doing is reading the Word. Hey, Rich, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which these fools are doing in secret. It's a shame to even talk about it. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. And wherefore, I'm sorry, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one another in the fear of God. Now I could go on about wives submitting your husband, blah, 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 blah. And have nothing to do with them. Huh? Hey, Larry, we want to bring them over here. We want to bring them to America and get them saved. Is that what the Word teaches? Go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
And, you know, we can sit back and we can say, man, that's a hard teaching right there.
That is.
The reality is we are soft believers. It's got nothing to do with the teaching. It's just the truth. In line with it, you know?
Right. Because we're warned, Rich, that if you're picking your daughters and your children over him, you ain't worthy. Am I missing it? Somebody help me out there if I'm missing it. Okay, so I want to take us somewhere today that through subtlety. Remember, the devil comes as subtlety. And I want to play this real quick video. I made this one about 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know. It's called "What You Don't Know Can Kill You." Jared, pull that thing up there. It's a little 4 minutes and 13 seconds. What you don't know can kill you. Ignorance is dangerous, boys. Go ahead, Jared.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithhughes.tv at newswithhughes.com. And as usual, thanks for joining us here today. You know, there's an old saying out there that says, ignorance is bliss. You know, I'd have to agree with that. There have been times in my life where it would have just been easier had I not known some of the things that I know. I can think of several different times when some truth was brought to me that I was obligated, that I was supposed to respond to or do something about. And I can remember before I went out the door thinking, man, it would be so much easier if I just didn't know this. Yeah, ignorance can be bliss. I remember the old TV show, game show when I was growing up. It was called You Don't Say. And the theme of that show was, it's not what you say that counts, it's what you don't say, or something along that line. Well, I would like to change that a little bit with you today and say, you know, what you don't know can kill you. Ignorance, my friends, is not bliss. It's not. I come in contact with a lot of people. I get a lot of emails. I get the opportunity to go on a lot of radio shows. I have a lot of callers who call in, people who question me, things that I believe. And I tell them this, that the greatest peace that ever came into my life was when I realized I didn't know all the truth. When I came to the realization that all during my uprising, especially in a lot of my Christian training, I was taught a lot of things that just were not true. It just weren't true. And I tell folks, say, listen, don't worry about it, man. I'm a purveyor, a seeker of truth. If it isn't true and I believe it, I want to know it. I do not want to believe a lie. Well, you know, there's a lot of evil going on in America, and a lot of us love to do what those three old monkeys did, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Oh, that sounds good to be able to do that, but the truth of the matter is, my friends, what you don't know can kill you. We just found out recently that the Centers for Disease Control has been hiding from us the fact that since at least 1990, maybe it was 2000, they've known that there's a direct link between autism and vaccinations. They know that vaccinations, childhood vaccinations, are causing all types of neurological disorders with children. Maybe ADD, HD, all that stuff. Although we found out that the guy who discovered ADHD said that was made up. And so many things that they're giving to us as they say it's science. Science is proven and science is shown. Folks, the reality of it is much of what they're telling us just is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the great thing about the internet is there's a lot of stuff on there that's true, and there's a lot of stuff on there that isn't true. But I'm going to tell you this. If you become a seeker of truth, if you know that Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except by Him. And if you know this, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And if you go after a hard pursuit of truth, the Holy Spirit will guide you to that truth. And no longer will you be able to remain passive, but you will reach the opportunity and you'll reach the point in your life where you realize that ignorance is not bliss, but what you know and what you don't know can make all the difference in the world. Jesus told us it's the truth that will make you free. If you know it. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, my friends. What you don't know can kill you. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Wow, huh? What you don't know can kill you. You say, well, Coach, where are you going with this? Well, I'm going at the heart of political correctness here again. I hate to keep doing this, but I got to open your eyes. I hear people say all the time that they want to make a difference, and they don't want to, you know, they don't know how to do it. They don't want to go out on the streets, and you know, they love their church. They want to make a difference in their church. So I'm going to expose you to a little bit of medicine, a little bit of truth here. And what you decide to do with it, that's up to you. You big boy and a big girl. You do what you want with it. But I'm blowing the whistle, Roger. I wish I had it. I'm throwing the flag here. I'm throwing the flag on the most, the largest media event in the world is going to occur on Sunday night. The Super Bowl. The largest media event in the world are going to be watching the Super Bowl. And I bet some of you listening to me right now, I bet your church is having a Super Bowl party. Or I bet your pastor has canceled church and said, go ahead and get together by yourselves and enjoy the Super Bowl and enjoy the time together, enjoy the fellowship. And you can maybe have a Bible study at halftime, whatever. Hey, you're talking about a football fanatic here. You got me? I love football. I ain't watching the Super Bowl. The NFL are the seeds of Satan. They're the seeds of Satan, the NFL. Let there be no mistake about it. The NFL is ungodly, okay? It's ungodly. But that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the tens of thousands, of hundreds of thousands, of millions of people who are going to sit in front of their television set and watch the halftime show. Now, I want you to stop here and think a minute. Come on. Who's watching the Super Bowl? Hey, Rich, who is the NFL marketing itself to? Anybody out there can join in there. Jay, who's the NFL? Who's the target group of the NFL? Any marketing experts out there? George, you're good in marketing. Who's the NFL trying to market itself to, George? Who has all the money?
The middle-aged men.
Guys like me and you and Rich and Roger and Jay, that's it probably, isn't it? Now we know that the kids buy a lot of stuff. We know that. But the Super Bowl is targeted to me, to my generation, right? Come on, yeah? Well then, Rich, if they were targeting me, who would they have perform at the halftime? Somebody throw out some names. Who would you like to see a performance at the halftime of the Super Bowl? I'd like Brent. To see, huh?
John Brockovich.
John Brockoff. I'm with you. Who, come on now. What performer would you like to have? How about Toby Keith?
A cloned version of the Beach Boys would be cool.
Beach Boys would be good. Yeah, get the old Beach Boys out. That'd be good. Toby Keith. I'd like to see Toby Keith. Roger, who would you like to see at the Super Bowl? Seeing how they're marketing the entire Super Bowl to you? Who?
You're not going to like it. I enjoy the music of the Fallout Boys.
I don't even know who they are, so they're not going to have them because nobody knows who they are. Fallout Boys.
Eagles know who they are.
How about the Eagles? Play the Eagles for me again. I'd enjoy the Eagles. America. How about, America, get them back. Let's have America come back. That Chicago. Would be great. Chicago, JR. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Journey. Now we're talking about,
Journey.
Journey. Now we're talking about a Super Bowl halftime show, aren't we? Man, aren't we? Well, that's not who they're giving us. This year they're giving us Lady Gaga. Last year they gave us Katy Perry. The year before that they gave us Beyonce. What's going on? What's going on? Doesn't even make sense. They're giving us these, maybe we need to look behind the curtain, see exactly what's going on. Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. Most largest audience, Madonna, 4 years ago. That same witch that was at the March for Lesbian Rights, that same witch, Madonna, was the star. Hey, guys, you smell something? See, what you don't know can kill you. Do you smell something? Why do all of these churches, think about this now, all of these churches, halftime show, and who comes right into their church right in the middle of the football game? Why, old Beelzebub shows up. Come on, coach. Well, then you help me out here. If you were going to market to 100 million pot-bellied beer drinker Budweiser fans, why would you bring in Lady Gaga? Some guys don't even know who she is. But, of course, a lot of men are like, what? A lot of men at these Super Bowl parties, these Christian men at these Super Bowl parties, they'll love the soft porn approach. They'll like that. So they'll probably watch it. Are you guys sitting down? Because what you don't know can kill you. Hey, Jared, let's do this for me. Jared, pull up that video, the demonic Super Bowl. Now, this video was made. Sit still. Put on your big boy pants. This video was made right after last year's Super Bowl, which included our dear friend Beyonce. No, Katy Perry, I think. I know it was Beyonce last year. Whatever. Sit back and watch, because what you don't know can kill you. And think of the hundreds of millions of uninformed, misinformed, unassuming kids that are going to watch the Super Bowl halftime show marketed to pot-bellied Budweiser drinkers. Here we go. Buckle in.
How's it going, guys? White Rabbit here. The 2016 halftime show is upon us. And just as is seen in seemingly every passing year, our society is again primed and ready to ingest the propagandized indoctrination showcasing the beliefs and ideologies held by the satanic ruling elite, notoriously known as the Illuminati. You see, a worldwide televised event such as the Super Bowl, which is viewed by hundreds of millions of people, is a wonderful opportunity for the elite to infuse subtle yet significant indoctrination into the minds of the viewers who never bother to question the talking pictures flickering on their screen. The Illuminati love showing off their Babylonian.
Now think about this now. We know there's a spiritual realm, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know we have eye gate, ear gate, senses. We understand how the evil one's able to impact us. Boy, he sure does it through this thing we're looking at right now, doesn't he? Go ahead, Jared.
Mysticism and esoteric symbolism through satanic rituals. And the vast majority of people never even realize what it is that they're watching. But upon realizing that Satan is referred to as the Prince of the Power of the Air, it's really no wonder that the satanic elite would utilize the music industry to showcase these elaborate rituals in a means of propagating their Luciferian dogmas. Whether by way of Madonna's throne, Katy Perry's game of chess, or Beyoncé's split personality, let's take a moment to re-examine the halftime shows of yesteryear to get a fuller understanding of what exactly we're being shown.
First of all, it's the Super Bowl. I mean, the Super Bowl is kind of like the holy of holies in America, right? So, like, here I am. I'm going to come into the halfway between, like, the church experience, and I'm going to have to deliver a sermon that's going to have to be very impactful.
At the time, Madonna may have seemed like an odd choice for the 2012 Super Bowl. But then again, Madonna is no stranger to performing occult rituals during her performances. Whether she's surrounded by demons, dancing with scantily clad nuns who are stripping on poles in the shape of a crucifix, or delivering an occult sermon in probably the most offensive and blasphemous performance I have ever seen in my life, It really shouldn't have been much of a shock to watch Madonna steal the stage for the Super Bowl 46 halftime show as she rode in upon her Illuminati throne.
And I'm gonna have to deliver a sermon that's gonna have to be very impactful.
Aside from dancing alongside depictions of Baphomet and a fallen angel, this halftime show performance also had its fill of subliminal messaging, featuring a winged sun disc, which Egyptian mystics used for ritualistic magic, a quite noticeable mark of the beast, complete with ox symbolism, and a depiction of Madonna performing on a Masonic altar, where she is literally inside the inner circle between two Masonic pillars, on a stage in the shape of the infamous Illuminati owl representing the Roman goddess Minerva. But the real focal point of this Illuminati ritual for me was during the closing song, where Madonna took the stage with the gospel choir standing before the Illuminati all-seeing eye and openly worshiping Lucifer when she sings her famous song, Like a Prayer. And for those of you who are still a little bit new to this Illuminati stuff, realize that in the Encyclopedia of Superstitions, Folklore, and the Occult Sciences of the World, it is outlined that in order to obtain the power and the secrets of witchcraft, it is necessary to visit a courtyard at midnight and cut off the hand of a recently dead corpse. Furthermore, midnight is actually the witching hour, and the witching hour refers to the time of night when creatures such as witches, demons, and ghosts are thought to appear and to be the most powerful, and black magic to be the most effective. So when Madonna says, which god do you think that verse is talking about? And then when she adds, where do you think she's trying to take you? Switching gears from blatant witchcraft and satanic rituals to the seemingly mundane by comparison performance in 2013, when Beyoncé took the stage at the Super Bowl halftime show. Despite flashing the Illuminati hand sign or the giant illuminated eye taking center stage during the final number, this relatively tame halftime show performance showcased one of the Illuminati's and Hollywood's darkest agendas.
I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me.
During this performance, Beyoncé showcased her alter ego, Sasha Fierce.
All right, let's talk about the difference between Beyoncé and Sasha Fierce. There's and Sasha Fierce is, she's on the CD. Are you on the CD at all? Because the CD is I Am Sasha Fierce, and it's someone different.
Yeah.
Did you make that name up?
I did.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
This agenda penetrates the Hollywood culture and is known by many researchers as MKUltra.
And it blows my mind, but that's the culture. It's a culture of fear for sure. And it's a big culture of mind control too. MKUltra mind control rules in Hollywood. If you don't know, Google that and look into it.
This soul partitioning campaign known as MKUltra was flaunted across the Super Bowl stage. Soul partitioning and MKUltra techniques utilize demon possession by breaking down an individual's psyche into many different fragmented pieces, which are then more malleable and easier for a demon spirit to take possession of. And the victims of this agenda in Hollywood are easy to detect.
Roman is a crazy boy who lives in me, and he says the things that I don't want to say.
While this can be invoked many different ways, both voluntarily or drug-induced, the most common technique utilized in Hollywood is through childhood abuse and torture techniques.
You know, there's a lot of good people in this industry, but there's also a lot of really, really sick, corrupt people in this industry. And there are people in this industry who have gotten away with it for so long that they feel they're above the law. And that's got to change. That's got to stop.
This very real and very disturbing, relatively unknown agenda was depicted and showcased all throughout Beyoncé's performance. From the stage itself depicting two faces mirroring each other, to her emulating Shiva, the goddess of destruction, splitting off into multiple different personalities, illustrating the fragmentation of an individual's psyche, to the shattering window of an individual's soul. And with all the black and white symbolism prevalent throughout the performance, it isn't difficult to figure out who's responsible for these agendas. But the true hallmark came at the end of her performance, when she kneeled on the altar to sing her song Halo. What you may not realize is that Halos is the personification of the sun in Greek mythology, and is closely identified with the god Apollo, the god of light. In all actuality, Beyoncé's closing performance was not simply her singing one of her top hits, but in all actuality her giving thanks and praise and worshiping before millions of people the Luciferian god. Closing out our list is the queen herself appearing in the 2015 halftime show, Katy Perry.
That's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
As a high-level Illuminati witch, Katy Perry has dabbled in a little bit of everything, from openly practicing satanic rituals on stage, to music videos promoting everything from bestiality to MKUltra, to homosexuality and Illuminati ideologies. She even took her own artistic liberties with The Witch from Hansel and Gretel. So when it came time to choose a musical artist to represent the Whore of Babylon, Katy Perry was undoubtedly the obvious choice. Dressed in flames to represent a phoenix, Katy Perry took to the checkerboard stage where the pieces for the ultimate Illuminati halftime show fell into place. Capping off both ends of the performance representing the light of Lucifer, this Freemasonic ritual went right under the noses of the general public. With performances from Coldplay and Beyoncé in this year's upcoming halftime show, there's no telling what the elite have planned for us this year. So make sure to stay tuned to this channel for my upcoming Illuminati occult symbolism.
Okay, that was made before Beyoncé last year, if I understand it right. Or was it Katy Perry? I get them all mixed up. Now, I said, Coach, why would you show us that? Well, I'm wondering, are you going to make your pastor aware of this? Are you going to share this with your pastor, that he will share it with all the people in their churches on Sunday to make them aware of what could be possibly could be happening during the Super Bowl show? Now, this year's, come on now, not Toby Keith. No, it wasn't Toby Keith. Wasn't the Carpenters. Wasn't, she's dead, I guess, couldn't do her. Even Elton John. No, they're going to give us Lady Gaga. Now, guys, I don't know if you know this, but in all of those Pizzagate videos we were shown, the Pizzagate pictures, when they were eating the cake, remember that? Eating the cake? Do you know who was the one eating the cake? Why, Lady Gaga! What a coinkadink! Remember, the devil has a team. And we heard Madonna herself say that she had to go put on a religious performance. You heard her say that. And we laugh at all, ha 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 ha. And the devil is telling us specifically what it is that he's going to do. And we laugh at it. Okay, what time? Quarter. Give me, what do you think, man? Somebody help me here.
Can't make this stuff up.
Can't make it up, brother. Can't make it up. And do you think this is being told to the people sitting in the churches? Do they know this? Do we know that when we have the Super Bowl party at our church that we're inviting these demon spirits in? I'm going to tell you this. If you watch 1 second of this halftime show this week, there's no excuse for you. There's no excuse. See, you've been warned about this Lady Gaga thing and this Illuminati and all that stuff that they laugh at. And see, it doesn't matter whether or not you believe it's true. They believe it's true. And we're told in Ephesians, if I'd have kept on reading, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down a stronghold. I got another video I want to show you, but it's too long. I'll send it to you. It says the top 10 celebrity Illuminatis. And they're all Super Bowl performers, by the way. All of them are. But I want you to see this. Jared, play. This one's a little bit shorter. This one's only 3 minutes. This is an expose on Lady Gaga, who just happened. happens to be performing this year at our Super Bowl. This is Mark Dice, and this is about 4 years old, maybe even 5 years old. But watch this. Go ahead.
Lady Gaga, Lady Gag Me, Lady Kaka, Super Skank from the Synagogue of Satan, whatever this hoe's name is, had made an interesting statement in the past when she was on Jimmy Kimmel's show, where she just, you know, said that she prays to Lucifer, or swears to Lucifer.
Yeah, well, sometimes they don't want to, and they're, you know, Gaga, we can't get, you know, the frequency's weird, and, you know, it's sounding a little bit strange, and I'm like, if you don't get this right now, I swear to Lucifer, I'm gonna, you know, I get a little bit mad, and I'm like, if you don't get this right now, I swear to Lucifer, I'm gonna, you know, I get a little bit mad.
Lady Gaga's 15 minutes of fame have all but faded away, and she's been replaced with newer super skanks like Kesha and Rihanna, but I thought I would highlight this just to show in case you needed any more pieces of proof that she is a satanic skank from the Synagogue of Satan, and in my opinion, smells like an STD. And it's not just the Illuminati symbolism that gives these artists away as being Illuminati puppets or Illuminati wannabes. All you needed to do was listen to the garbage music, the lyrics. Just take a look at their personal lives. Take a look at the agendas that they're pushing. I mean, if you needed to see some Illuminati symbolism, or if you needed to see them flashing a triangle or covering up one eye to be convinced that they are supporting the Illuminati, that they're kind of giving a hat tip to them, then you've been blind or deaf or both this whole time, because all you needed to do was just simply listen to what they were saying or look to see what they were doing. You know, Aristotle once said, the ancient Greek philosopher said, that if you listen to the wrong kind of music, you'll become the wrong kind of person. So what do you think it's doing to your brain by pumping in their garbage lyrics and listening to it over and over and over again? It's musical mind control for the morons. I'm Mark Dice. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
My, oh my. As I was sitting here listening to that, I was thinking about this. How my mind is so programmed. On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair, smell of eucalyptus rising up through the air. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a shimmering light. My eyes grew heavy and my sight grew dim. I had to stop for the night. In the distance, I heard the mission bell. I was thinking to myself, could this be heaven or this could be hell? And up in the distance, I saw a shimmering light. Oh, man. Programmed. My mind is programmed with lyrics from songs years and years ago. I could right now go to YouTube, hit on a YouTube video and hear the first 5 seconds of that song, and I would recognize the song. You guys know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, those lyrics would come back to us. And so we understand the power of music and the power of music and visuals to program us in ways that we don't even understand. Yet we can't memorize the Bible. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely face. They're living it up at the Hotel California. It's a nice surprise. Bring your alibis. We're programmed. Do you understand it? We can't quote scripture, but we can sing all these songs. So, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying that the enemy understands what we don't understand. What you don't know can kill you. And we are exposing our children and our grandchildren to this mind manipulation. You can call it the devil. You can laugh at the Illuminati. You can do all you want to. But if I ask you right now, sing me your favorite song, words come right up. Come right to you. Because we've been programmed at it. Jump in here, somebody.
Hey, Coach, I want to remind or ask everybody to please consider contacting the president's office. I sent out emails to everybody. your approval of what the hell our president's doing, Trump. Just a positive nod to him.
Okay, that's good. I don't think he cares. Be honest with you. I think he already knows.
You think the church? He knows the church is with him?
No, because the church probably isn't.
Okay. Well, we're the church.
Hey, can we go to Matthew 12:30 real quick?
Sure. Matthew 12:30.
Yeah, I need.
I think we ought to get 15,000 people in Texas. That's what I think.
That's right.
That's far more important than calling the president. I'm not making fun of you, JR. I'm not making fun of it. They just tally calls. Yeah. For the most part, they're going to do whatever the heck they're going to do. And I'm going to tell you this. Donald Trump has a far greater understanding of the spiritual evil around him than the average guy sitting in the church does and the average pastor does. I can tell you this. He is living right in the middle of it. The stuff that he knows that we don't know would make us fall on our face and begin to cry. And so I think he understands far greater than that what the huddled masses out here do. That's what I do. And I believe that this battle is going to be ultimately won or lost in the streets. That's what I think. Matthew what, Rich?
12:30.
Because people will call him and think they've done all they need to do. I'm going to call and I'm going to go.
Or it's a first step.
Yeah, it's going to be a first step.
Get your car moving.
Yep. Yep. Okay, how do you move them from the phone to the feet? They're trying to organize another. Hang on, Rich. I'm still with you. They're trying to organize another Planned Parenthood event, February 11th. Mm-hmm. I'm really ambivalent about it. I'm really ambivalent. Because they're not serious about it. They just want to have more rallies and more rallies and more rallies. They're not serious about it. We don't play like the other side plays. We don't. I was at the last rally they had at Planned Parenthood. We had 1,000 people, and the next time we had one, we had 200. And the next time we had one, we had 50. And I can tell you right now that those scumbags that we're seeing in Washington, D.C., and on the streets of Washington, D.C., those scumbags are looking 19 months out. I can promise you that.
Oh, I agree.
We're thinking Donald Trump's going to deliver us.
The Democratic legislators need to stop running the Democratic Party and start being legislators.
So then that's who we ought to call, see? You want to call somebody, you ought to call the Democrats. Say, listen, we ought to call Sherrod Brown and say, listen, I ain't voting for your ass. If you do what the rest of those Democrats are doing, I ain't voting for your ass. You understand? I'm sorry. That's what we ought to do. I'm tired of calling my team, asking them to play like they're on my team. I'm tired of it. Time we put pressure on the enemy. It's the enemy we're fighting. Let's put pressure on the enemy. Hey, Sherrod Brown, you don't support Trump's candidates, his nominee. You don't support him. I'm working against you, buddy. That's what I think we ought to do. Oh, well, you can't change their mind. Yeah? He wants to be reelected. Go ahead, Rich. 12:30, is that where we are? Matthew 12, verse 30. Wait a minute. I'm going to go back up. Let's go up to 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, well, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He said, in them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction. And every city or every house divided against itself cannot stand. See, a divided house can stand. I got an upstairs. I got rooms. I have a divided house. But we're not divided against ourselves. We're unified. We live in a divided house, separate rooms, unified in these separate rooms. And if I have my wife in the other room with a gun shooting at me and I'm in here shooting at her, this house ain't going to stand. Can't. Or how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first ties up the strong man? then he will spoil his house. See, hey, Rich, in evangelical circles, we want to bind the strong man. We want to tie him up, but then we don't want to go into his house. We just want to leave him tied up there in the corner, stick him in the corner. Boy. Verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. What are you going to say there, Rich? You're muted.
That first word in verse 30, who is it? Who's he?
Whoever's not with him.
I mean, we can be talking about the protesters. We can be talking about the church. We can be talking about family. He who is not with me is against me. They are enemies, plain and simple.
From his mouth,
Dave. That's a broad brush right there.
That is a broad brush.
Absolutely right, Rich. And you know, the converse of that is the other verse in one of the other gospels that says, he who is not against us is for us, which sounds a whole lot nicer to today's wishy-washy phony church. But both statements say exactly the same thing. There are two sides. You are on one or the other.
And there is a war. And there is a war.
And the dividing line is coming. And that right there is the dividing line. You're with him or you're not.
They're bringing the battle to us for sure. They're bringing the battle to us for sure. And if our mindset continues to be, let's get them saved, we will never win this battle. How will we? Why? Because the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They have no fear of God. And if there is no, my opinion, if there is no fear of God, conversion is almost impossible. It's almost impossible. Hey, you don't run for help till you're scared. Yes.
Somebody. I never realized exactly how definitely dead on right you are when you keep talking about this mindset of get them saved. You know what? Were we told, and you've mentioned this, and it never really struck me before, but we were never told to go out and get them saved. We were told to go out and teach them to obey.
Simple! To observe all we've commanded you. That's what we taught them to do. And you know what he says? Right down here. We're going to run out of time. Let's stay right in the same verse. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or neither in the world to come. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's the only one that can draw you. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can draw you unto all truth. And if you speak against the Holy Spirit and you reject the Holy Spirit, you reject the truth, and therefore it is impossible for you to receive. They won't preach that in your church. But that's the word. And so the spirit of truth is right before. I showed you the spirit of truth today about the Illuminati, and I showed it to you. And most people aren't going to go say anything to the pastor because they don't want to make any waves. They don't make any waves. That's just entertainment. Yeah. Do you know that Katy Perry's parents were evangelists? Huh? Somebody evangelized her right out of the family, didn't they? Somebody did. And I bet Mr. and Mrs. Perry right now would love to get their hands around the neck of whoever did that to their precious little daughter. I weep for them. I'm not criticizing them. I weep for the Perrys that they've lost their daughter. Carry that burden. Go to try to live out the call upon your life to serve the Lord and have to carry that burden. That your daughter is a prince of a high priest of Satan. That one wouldn't be easy to swallow. We're in a war, guys. Man, we're out of time. We're in a war. You reject the Holy Spirit. You reject the truth of the Holy Spirit, Rich. Jared, I'm going to read that again. And whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, and ain't going to be forgiven him. Not only here, but where they're gone. It ain't going to be forgiven him. And what is that? Hey, Rich, you just need to love him, don't we, brother? Just
Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, a clear explanation of what you just talked about, the thing that will not be forgiven. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6.
Amen. Okay, what's your job? What's your marching orders? Warn your pastor. Warn everybody you know. Forward these this video I just showed you. Forward it to everybody you know and let them know about the evil NFL, the evil demonic halftime show. Warn them. That's all you can do. Warn them. But you got to do that because the Lord's laid it on your heart and given you the truth. We got to pass it on. Sorry, I sang on air, especially Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, anytime you like. You can never leave. See you tomorrow.